Mahamudra Eliminating the Darkness of Ignorance, Part 4, Enhancing Mahamudra Meditation. As for the third part, the concluding material, there are also the actions for enhancing your progress. When, without meandering, you have totally immersed yourself in the mental hold of the mindfulness of total absorption during meditation sessions, and then, when you have set that state aside for the moment, if your mind subsequently lapses into meandering, you need to alternate such periods with cultivating total absorption and no meandering. As another method to enhance your progress, when you have thought about death and impermanence, have that mind that thinks, "I'm going to die," as a combination of this body, speech, and mind, and death, and so on, recognize the intrinsic nature of death and the mind in the state of death. Through having done that, that very mind will become liberated from grasping at the categories of permanence and impermanence, which derive from merely conceptual labeling by the mind. And then, through having thought in a similar manner about all the drawbacks of uncontrollably recurring samsaric rebirth, become aware that both samsara and nirvana are like a far mountain and a near mountain in a dream. As a further method, when you meditate affectionately on love and compassion by being aware of all limited beings as having been your fathers and mothers, and likewise when you meditate on the aspiring and engaged states of bodhicitta up to enlightenment, recognize the intrinsic nature of them. Through having set your mind at that point in an uncontrived state, and thus through having set your mind in a state in which its aspect is vividly clear bodhicitta, and it is aware of its essential nature as being parted from mental fabrication, and having nothing whatsoever to be done, your mind will go to a state of voidness, in other words, emptiness, and compassion as being inseparable. As an additional method, when, from among the pathway minds enabled by the four empowerments, Va's empowerment, you have thought of yourself as a Buddha figure through any of the four ritual procedures of generation on the generation stage, and have clarity in your meditation of the environment and its inhabitants as deities and resounding sounds as mantra, examine the essential nature of them. That meditation of inseparable appearance voidness, when parted from conceptual thought, is the practice of the unified pair of the generation and complete stages, or generation stage Mahamudra. And then, after having applied the realization of clear light to everything you do, recognize mind's natural face in meditation, and even at times when walking, moving about, lying down, sitting, speaking, conversing, and so on. This is blending everything with Mahamudra. There are also four types of behavior for enhancing your progress. Practicing single-pointedly with inseparable generation and complete stages, or with inseparable shamatha and vipassana, is called totally excellent samantabhadra behavior. When that has become stable, then, having concealed yourself in frightening, haunted places, practicing with knowing the view, meditation, and behavior is called concealed behavior. When that has become stable, with no mental wandering, then wandering and mixing yourself in places with large crowds and taking this as a spiritual pathway and practicing is called crowd behavior. Then, according to the specifics of which situations your mind is more stable or unstable in, there are three types of practitioners, great, middling, and small. From among these, there are no definite signs for those of you who are great. However, after such persons have attained a great applying pathway mind, great stage of the path of preparation, they act with elaboration. In the attire of a haruka, they mix themselves with horrifying circumstances without any conceptual thoughts about what is to be eaten or not, what is clean or filthy, or what is faulty or proper. By having practiced like that, they attain a seeing pathway of mind, the path of seeing, after progressing in stages through the applying pathway minds. By means of having done that, then, in terms of themselves, since they have triumphed over the demonic forces of Mara, disturbing emotions and a modest Hinayana vehicle of mind, that type of practice is called behavior triumphant over all directions. Because in terms of others, they bring about great benefit for limited beings with great crowd behavior, that is also called behavior progressing with Mahamudra itself. For those of you with the highest capabilities, there is nothing that needs to be enhanced. That is because you have parted your minds from the duality of something to be meditated upon and something that does the meditating. But as for the many further methods that exist for enhancing the progress of those of you who are not like that, you need to learn of them from the mouths of your gurus. Concerning them, in summary, there are the methods for enhancing your progress through combining the Mahamudra realization with alternating total absorption and subsequent attainment periods. with the Mathway minds of the Kama Sutra vehicles of mind, with the mantra tradition, and with the four types of behavior. Enhancing your progress through having exerted effort like that and having practiced is the first point for enhancing your progress. Furthermore, to eliminate hindrances to your progress, you need to rid yourself of the five distorted conceptual thoughts. Part yourself from clinging to objects as being virtuous or non-virtuous. As the three times, past, present, and future, cannot be established as truly existent, rid yourself of even the thought, I shall attain enlightenment in just this very time right now. Having done that, be certain that in one instant there is enlightenment. Without holding your own mind as something as being vulgar and ordinary, be aware of it as having from the start the essential nature of the five types of deep awareness. Do not hold your very own aggregates, cognitive sources, and cognitive stimulators as dirty, but rather be certain of them as being from the start male and female deities and male and female Buddhas thusly gone. Rid yourself of the assertion of liberation from just listening and pondering the teachings. Decide for sure on liberation through the force of meditation and the Guru's inspiration. Rid yourself of these five distorted conceptual thoughts about objects, the times, the essential nature, the intrinsic nature, and discriminating awareness. Gaining the three skills will also enhance your progress. With your body posture excellent and having examined the essential nature of your mind atop the settled mind when it is settled and atop the stirring mind when it is stirring, then being totally absorbed is called skill in the beginning at initiating meditation. Ridding yourself of fatigue by taking a rest so that you will be fit to transform your absorbed concentration and body posture when you can no longer be singularly totally immersed in them is called skill intermediately and cutting off being diffused. No matter what kind of excellent boon experiences dawn, acting without clinging to them is called skill in cultivating the boon experiences. Train yourself in these three skills. As another method to enhance your progress, recognize that the various appearances of the mind are a corpus of emanations, nirmanakaya. Its faculty of knowing is a corpus of full use, sambhogakaya. Its voidness is a corpus of essential nature, svabhavakaya. And the inseparability of the three is a corpus encompassing everything, adharmakaya. When you have decided for sure that that is the intrinsic nature of whatever is possible that can appear, everything of samsara and nirvana, in other words, when you have ascertained, isolated from all extremes of mental fabrication, that all phenomena are parted from the trio, arising, ceasing, and abiding, totally absorb your mind in being parted from any adopting or rejecting and all hopes and worries. All that is the second point for enhancing your progress. Furthermore, because if you cling to the three boon experiences of bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality, you will deviate into the three planes of compulsive existence. Then, no matter what experiences arise, good or bad, do not hold them as supreme. In that way, you will enhance your progress by avoiding these three points of deviation. You also need to avoid the four places for a loss of voidness, in other words, emptiness. Once you have ascertained voidness by means of the reasoning parted from being either the same or different, you might think either all phenomena by their own essential natures have passed into being a total void, or the mere absence that is the negation of truly established existence, which I have derived from having analyzed with my intellect, this is the voidness of everything. Making either of these your meditation is a loss of voidness in terms of its character. Since by means of that you might have become coarse with regard to behavioral cause and effect, rid yourself of meditations on voidness that grasp it as an absence of that causal relationship and that leave it as something intellectually derived. Having done that, and then having examined the essential nature of that grasping at an absence in these two faulty ways, be uncontrived without making up anything. From not having the realization that all disturbing emotions to be gotten rid of and their antidotes, namely their voidnesses, are void, then when many things, disturbing emotions, negative conceptual thoughts, and so on, arise in your mental continuum, you might take them as your enemy, thinking these are stealing the life of my liberation. Then thinking these should be destroyed by voidness, you might hold those two as things to be gotten rid of and things that are their antidotes. From having done that and then meditating on voidness, is a loss of voidness in terms of it being an antidote. For that, then having recognized the essential nature of that conceptual thought itself that grasps at those disturbing emotions, or what is to be gotten rid of, and what is their antidote as separate things, set your mind in the state lacking anything to stop or establish. When you realize this, that the supreme pathway mind for attaining Buddhahood is voidness, but without realizing that the basis, pathway, and resultant minds, all three are voidnesses, then you might think that voidness as only a pathway mind is the superior one among the pathway minds, and that the pathway minds other than that are inferior, and thus not think of the method part of the practice, such as bringing the disturbing emotions and negative conceptual thoughts also into your practice as pathway minds. This is a loss of voidness in terms of it being a pathway mind. Therefore, having recognized that essential nature itself of the conceptual thought that clings to voidness as only a pathway mind, and holds it as the superior one among the pathway minds for that attainment of resultant Buddhahood, examine it further. By having done that, be aware of the voidness of everything, basis, path, and result, as being a voidness without anything to be gotten rid of, or antidotes, and without superior or inferior methods. When practicing the generation stage of a Nutriyoga Tantra, you might have spread out and applied as a crowning seal to everything, voidness as a mantra, or something intellectually derived, but which you have had no actual experience of, and then only thought everything is voidness. Or you might have been dismissive of karma and behavioral cause and effect, thinking, since everything is voidness, then because nothing can be established as even conventionally existing, then what can be done by means of constructive acts, which are phenomena affected by cause and effect? This is a loss of voidness in terms of it being a crowning seal. For that, then, having examined and recognized the essential nature of that very thought, everything is voidness, set your mind in its real nature, parted from conceptual thoughts about voidness being its own natural face. These intellectually derived voidnesses, however, are not totally improper in all aspects. If beginners do not do any intellectually derived meditation, then even if they are taught voidness from the start, they will be unable to realize it. Since that is so, and since if they familiarize themselves intellectually with the real nature of everything, in the end they will naturally come to realize voidness non-conceptually, then even meditating on an intellectually formulated voidness is proper. However, in the end, since such type of conceptual meditation is a place for a loss of Mahamudra, you must rid yourself of it. These, then, are the hindrances that are the four places for a loss of voidness. Because they hinder stable realization of Mahamudra, do not mix up what is to be gotten rid of and what is to be adopted like that. Then, within that state, set your mind in an uncontrived manner on top of whatever dawns without making presumptions that something incorrect is correct Mahamudra realization. Without having moved from that fresh and clean state, and without doing such things as holding your body in a severe posture, holding your breath or the likes, set your mind at ease, at its own leisure, without stopping, establishing, getting rid of, or adopting anything in terms of the conceptual thoughts, constructive, destructive, ethically unspecified, and so on, but just set it in a naturally simple state, without grasping at whatever dawns. That's the third point for enhancing your progress. Furthermore, to enhance your progress, you need to be able to pass safely through the six dangerous gorges where enemies can rear up and ambush you. Suppose that you had been experiencing great satisfaction dawning regarding your ability to control conceptual thoughts and emotionally disturbing states in your meditation. But then, at one point, your conceptual thoughts became coarse and numerous. You were unable to bring them under control in your meditation, and that upset you violently. When that happens, that is called the dangerous gorge in which conceptual thoughts have reared themselves up as an enemy. For that, recognize the very thoughts themselves and the essential nature of those very thoughts, and, without regarding them as faults, think of them with kindness. Having done that, and having then taken them as the actual matter of your meditation, then, since their natural face parted from mental fabrication will dawn as Dharmakaya, cultivate the realization that they are like that. Suppose that previously, whatever disturbing emotions arose, you were able to clean it away with an intellectually made analysis of voidness. But then, at one point, a disturbing emotion, longing, desire, or the likes, arises, and you are powerless. That is called the dangerous gorge in which disturbing emotions have reared themselves up as an enemy. For that, recognize the essential nature of whatever disturbing emotion has arisen. Having done that, and having then set your mind in a state of neither stopping nor establishing anything, it will purify itself away, automatically in its own place, without your needing to get rid of it. Since the disturbing emotion will pass into automatically purifying itself away on top of the voidness of its vividly clear aspect, which is, in fact, bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality, cultivate your practice like that. Suppose when you had searched for the mind with investigation and scrutiny, then having not found it, having seen that all phenomena cannot be established as truly and findably existent, you had been dismissive of everything. What is to be gotten rid of? What is of help? What is constructive and what is negative? Because of that, and because of having taken as the main thing the family trait of the boon experience of starkness, then from yourself, others, and everything having passed into a void, you grasp to a voidness in which there was no awareness to do anything. That is called the dangerous gorge in which voidness has reared itself up as an enemy, or in which a blackness has spread out. For that as well, recognize the essential nature of that very grasping at voidness itself. Having done that, and having set your mind in a state of neither stopping nor establishing anything, then, since such grasping will be eliminated, set your mind in a state like that. Suppose you were aware of appearances as dependently arising phenomena, but nevertheless clung to them by grasping them in their ultimate voidness, still to be conventionally truly existent functional phenomena. Then either you developed claustrophobia, or you became paranoid or obsessive about whatever assorted appearances you saw. That absorbed state of unhappiness in that situation is called the dangerous gorge in which appearances have reared themselves up as an enemy. For that, recognize the essential nature of those appearances and of that grasping them to be truly existent functional phenomenon. Having done that, and having set your mind in a state of neither stopping nor establishing anything, such grasping will be eliminated. Then suppose, having meditated like that, then even when you develop an emotional faith, compassion, and so forth more than others have, you lose them in a naturally simple manner without having purified them in their real nature of Mahamudra. From being in that situation, then suppose you have developed compassion toward others who do not possess those good qualities and have thought, now, if I've worked to benefit others, it will be of greater benefit than doing this Mahamudra meditation. From thinking like that, then engaging yourself in benefiting others, while not accomplishing, but rather casting aside, developing other good qualities for yourself, is called the dangerous gorge in which compassion has reared itself up as an enemy. For that as well, recognize that attitude of emotional compassion. From having done that, and having set your mind in a state of neither stopping nor establishing anything, then by extensively offering prayers in a state of that vividly clear compassion being made clear in its intrinsic nature of Mahamudra, you will eliminate it rearing up as an enemy. Then the dependent arising of benefiting others will operate properly. Further, suppose that, having not ascertained the Mahamudra view, you asserted, from having learned in great detail grammar, logic, and so forth, I shall realize the view that is there from the start, and then you discarded meditation. That is called the dangerous gorge in which cause and effect has reared itself up as an enemy. For that, exert effort in meditation itself on the view, and by cultivating that without hopes or worries, such danger will be eliminated. Practice in that way in order to enhance your progress. In addition, no matter which of the three hindrances occur, sickness, harm from demonic forces, or hindrances to absorb concentration, namely the trio, mental dullness, flightiness of mind, and foggy-mindedness, and the likes, investigate the individual essential natures of each of them in terms of it having a color, shape, or the trio, and arising and enduring and a passing. Without stopping or establishing anything, decisively conclude that they cannot be established as anything by their intrinsic nature. Alternatively, do the practice of Dong Len, giving and taking, having practice bringing sickness and harm from demons into your practice as the four corpuses of a Buddha. Practice that without indulging in any hopes or worries whatsoever, worries that sickness will come to you from others, or hope for benefit to go from you to others. Or for mental dullness, flightiness of mind, and so on, if you become mentally dull in terms of activity, focal object, and so forth, use flightiness of mind as a method to perk yourself up. And for flightiness of mind, use mental dullness as a method to calm yourself down. Further, having examined the essential natures of that mental dullness and flightiness of mind, then by setting your mind on their essential natures, they will be eliminated. Although there are many such methods for eliminating hindrances, I have not written them all here for fear that this would become too wordy. Thus, you need to become aware of them from the lips of your guru. Moreover, for those of you with the highest capabilities, there are no hindrances to be eliminated, since you will have stable realization of everything as being primordially parted from mental fabrication. These dangerous gorges, in which disturbing emotions, conceptual thoughts, and so forth rear up as enemies, occur at the time when you are on the stage called a single taste, when you have an accustoming pathway of mind, the path of meditation. According to Mahamudra, since these enemies jump up at that time because of the habits of the disturbing emotions and conceptual thoughts hardened on your mental continuum, it is said that they are to be taken as indications of nirmanakaya, corpus of emanations, to be cleaned away in voidness. However, according to the general pervasive teachings, such as those of the Sakya system of Lamje, the pathway minds and their results, and the like, it is said these dangerous gorges dawn at the time of the complete stage with signs from the dependent arising of gathering together the minds and the energy channels, energy winds, and creative energies through the force of the various complete stage practices that are in the homologous spaces with that and that disturbing emotion and conceptual thought. Although there may be many such things, the places for a loss, the dangerous gorges, and the hindrances from sickness, demonic forces, and the hindrances to absorb concentration, perhaps just this much summarizes them all. And as for the methods to eliminate all these faults, become aware that they as well are similar to those mentioned here. These then are the stages for eliminating the 3 points of deviation, the 4 places for a loss, the 5 dangerous gorges, and the 3 hindrances. Having become aware of the faults of these and the benefits of eliminating them like that, make an effort and do not mix up what is to be adopted and what is to be discarded. Those are the 4th and 5th points for enhancing your progress. Furthermore, as for the way in which benefits arise from these Mahamudra practices, the benefits of the preliminaries are that they bring about the fulfillment of your own provisional and ultimate aims. That is because they are fitting to be the basis for your attaining pathway minds leading to liberation and Buddhahood and better future rebirths as their working basis. Not only that, but by having meditated on the difficulty of obtaining the respites and enrichments of a precious human body and on death and impermanence, and by having thought about behavioral cause and effect, having turned your mind away from concern for this life, you gain conviction and karma, and thus the ability to safeguard your vows of ethical discipline even at the cost of your life. By having thought about the shortcomings of samsaric rebirth, and having developed disgust for uncontrollably recurring samsaric rebirth on the 3 planes of compulsive existence, having then developed renunciation, the determination to be free, you will thereby wish to attain only a purified state of liberation. By having meditated on love, compassion, and the bodhicitta aim, and having thus parted yourself from wishing for your own happiness alone, you will come to think of only the welfare of all limited beings. By having made effort in the yoga of the 100-syllable mantra of Vajrasattva, and from that having had indications of purification of your negative karmic forces occur in actual waking life and in dreams, you will thereby easily develop boon experiences and stable realizations. By having made mandala offerings, your body will be blissful, your mind clear, your desires few, and you will gain incalculable positive force. By having meditated on Guru Yoga, your firm conviction in his or her good qualities and appreciation of his or her kindness will flare up more and more. Absorbed concentration and inspiration will come about from that, and thus you will effortlessly develop boon experiences and stable realizations. Whether or not you develop the actual fundamental part of this Mahamudra practice, shamatha and vipassana, will depend on this guru yoga. As for the actual fundamental part of the practice, the benefits of shamatha are that you develop faultlessly the boon experiences of bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality. Because of that, your craving will diminish for food and clothing, your body will have luster and brilliance, your mind will be flexibly fit, you will gain the 5 extrasensory eyes, heightened awarenesses, and so on, and your disturbing emotions and conceptual thoughts will be outshined. As for the benefits of vipassana, those with the highest capabilities will traverse the levels of bhumi mind of Arya Bodhisattvas and pathways of mind that they span all at once. Those with middling capabilities will develop them in a leap-ahead manner, some at one time all at once, and then some in stages. Since those of least capabilities develop them in progressive stages, they traverse from the beginner level of mind to the 10th level bhumi mind in progressive order. Further, as for the way they traverse them, it is in accordance with the way in which the 4 times 3, or 12 yogas, dawn in them, which is as follows. In general, with your attainment of a stilled and settled state of shamatha, you can set your mind, as much as you wish, in a state of bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality. But one alternative that might happen is that by setting your mind in meditation, then sometimes, even in meditation, these three boon experiences do not come. And sometimes, even not in meditation, they do come. This stage is which you have not gained control to a great extent over your absorbed concentration is the lesser stage of single-pointedness. When your mind is securely settled such that it is not harmed by distractions, and whenever you are in meditation, these three boon experiences come, you have gained control over your absorbed concentration. This is the middling stage of single-pointedness. When the three boon experiences dawn, with no mental wandering, even in violent circumstances, and with no discontinuity, and when all conceptual thoughts have been stilled in that state, and you are mixed into that state even when sleeping, and are never separated from it in all your activities, this is the great stage of single-pointedness. At this point, because you will make around you a constant mental environment of the boon experiences, the realization might occur that this occasion is the stage of great no further training, in other words, enlightenment. But other than the boon experiences dawning as if they were a stable realization, this is not an actual stable realization of the essential nature of the mind. These stages of single-pointedness are simply at the time of the building up and applying pathway minds, the so-called paths of accumulation and preparation. Because you do not quite recognize the essential nature of your mind, boon experiences with grasping at their voidness are the principal feature of your shamatha. By having cultivated not clinging to the real nature of these boons, these experiences will become purified. All enduring aspects of bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality can shatteringly perish so that this state simultaneously dawns and liberates itself in each moment, and you see the deepest truth of their actual nature. In other words, once the three voidnesses, that of bliss, clarity, and non-conceptuality, still into a state of not being objects conceptually clung to, then that essential nature of pure awareness dawns pristinely, like having peeled away the skin of a fruit or having found a treasure. With this, you attain a Mahayana seeing pathway of mind, a path of seeing. It is also called the stage of being parted from mental fabrication. When at this point you are still not completely separated from the vicinity of the grasping that is clinging to voidness, and you have only just slightly seen the essential nature of the mind, this is the lesser stage of being parted from mental fabrication. When you have purified that from its root, and in accordance with your stable realization, normal awareness has become distinct as not being an object conceptually clung to, this is the middling stage of being parted from mental fabrication. When that has become stable, but you are uncomfortable with this realization of normal awareness in terms of external appearances, though comfortable with it in terms of internal conceptual thoughts, you need to purify that. By having done that, and thus having gained the stable realization that everything is void, without there being even one among all phenomena that is not void, then, when you have thereby cut all interpolation concerning the voidness of all phenomena, external and internal, this is the great stage of being parted from mental fabrication. During subsequent attainment periods of these three stages of being parted from mental fabrication, external appearances dawn as illusions. You have stable realization of the intrinsic nature of bodhicitta. Having rid yourself of the 82 factors that a seeing pathway of mind gets rid of, you do not take rebirth, and then, after living a lifetime, turn away from any of the three planes of uncontrollably recurring samsara and their four stages of compulsive existence, birth, pre-death, death, and the bardo in-between state, except by the power of aspiration prayers to do so in order to help others. Because of that, it is called the attainment of a first-level bumi mind, extremely joyous, or pathway mind of seeing. By having cultivated that very state for a long time, you will fly up to the stage of a single taste.